And then the monkeys just ate his freaking face off. It was hilarious. And we're rolling, though. Hello, listener, and welcome to your new 17th favorite podcast right behind Barb and Gladys's Yarning Around. It's Destroy the Files with Kate and Brent. How are we doing tonight, Kate?
I'm good. Thanks, Brent. I'm Kate Jones, writer, editor, international spy.
And I'm Brent Kelly, story writer, beer swigger, and man-child. And this is a podcast which we will probably delete as soon as we're done recording it, and where the only limit is your imagination. If you were at work, a child at work, pregnant, nursing, attending nursing school, a member of the clergy, a member of the FBI, or my own dear sweet mother, it is not recommended that you listen to this podcast. There could be some swearsies.
Could be. Not guaranteed, but there could be. So today, I want to congratulate you on making it to 300 episodes.
Yeah,
to all
well, thank
those
you.
Naysayers, there is no sound equivalent of that sign I just shot.
A gesture was, yeah, I mean, I think the naysayers would, I think they would feel that gesture coming through the airwaves.
So what is the sound equivalent of?
Kind of a like a slide whistle with a sproink on the end. And then like a sort of a squishy.
Mm. Good. Right. But number 300, unless I accidentally put a couple of extra zeros on there, I don't know.
We have it says destroyed 300 a in lot my of these.
That's right. Yeah. They're not around.
Yeah, I just want to give a quick shout out to this portion of the podcast is sponsored by America's favorite new game show, Celebrity Porta Potty Roulette, where your favorite washed up celebrities binge on White Castle and then do their twosies in one of six portable toilets. Will they choose the portable toilet that will land them a recurring role on a popular Netflix series, or will they choose one that's packed with explosives? Tune in to Celebrity Porta Potty Roulette. It's a poo-splosion of fun.
I'm gonna watch that one.
I haven't seen Celebrity Porta Potty Roulette, but yeah, I gotta tell you, that kind of made me want to watch it. Mm. I have to check that out. You've been watching anything good on TV?
I have not been watching anything good on TV. I watched a little debate coverage, but we're not gonna talk about that here because we're not that kind of podcast.
Not that kind of podcast. But I imagine that sometimes you just sit in a rocking chair in the dark, listening to Son of Ratzilla climb around the piano strings all out of tune.
But I would like to warn you that if there's any lying going on tonight, I will rip some paper, goddammit. I have paper. I will do it. I will rip it.
You look serious.
I am.
And you sound serious, too, in case there's any hearing impaired people that are listening to this that are just wondering what you sound like.
That would be serious.
I gotta say, we started watching Stranger Things episode, like season one. The wife hadn't seen that, and I sat her down, Clockwork Orange style, strapped in the chair with the things on the eyes. I put the drops in for her. I'm nice. And we've been watching it, and she seems to be liking it. And, boy, it just takes me back to the good old days when Stranger Things, you know, season one was on, just starting up. It was
right?
A simpler time back then.
That's good that she likes it. It's important that you share like cultural affinity like that.
Yeah, and well, I mean, there was some initial resistance to the straight jacketing and then jamming the things in her eyes to hold it open, but I think it's one of those things that the more you wear it, the more comfortable it is, and you know.
Of course.
But, you know, the thing about Stranger Things is they don't have any fun, like, breaks in the middle of the episode. Like, this is brought to you by so-and-so's, you know, funny thing, you know, like we do.
Hmm. I miss the commercials. And many, many television shows, commercials are my favorite parts of them. I love a good Doritos ad or a little Budweiser. Shame that we can just fast forward through all that shit now. And I never get to touch the remote and watch the commercials the way I want to.
Don't you have any kind of projectile or maybe like a hard stick that you could
Yeah, I could try it.
So, you had sent me an article earlier today.
I have, yes. This Christmas, we got a new PlayStation 4. And when you get a PlayStation 4, you, of course, have to get games to go along with it.
A lot of times.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, they're fun without the games, but better with them. So we got the Death Stranding. If you're not are you familiar with
the game? I am not, no, not one bit, no.
Okay, so Death Stranding is it's set in a fantasy world that's post-apocalyptic, and it involves a lot of walking, and there's some rain that's not good, and you have to try and keep the rain off of you, and there's antimatter and matter, and as you're walking, you have to carry packages, and you have to keep them balanced, and you're absolutely Norman Reedus, who I think is that how you say his name? He's mm-hmm. he's like Norman from the zombie, the
yeah, Walking Dead. He's on The Walking Dead, yeah.
Yeah, he's that guy. So in the game, you're Norman Reedus, and you deliver packages after the apocalypse, and then there's rain, and the afterlife is real, and you have to manage your cargo and your balance, and for some reason, there's a fetus strapped to your stomach, and you have to, like, feed it sometimes, and then you throw poop at ghosts. I don't know. It's an odd game, but mainly what you do is walk. So I thought, wouldn't it be really smart, you know, because exercise is important, and if you're going to spend... yeah, but if you're going to spend hours pretending to walk... Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be cool if you controlled the game by actually walking? Then you would, like, do two things at once, get, like, do sure. the cardio and play a game. Turns out this one guy on YouTube thought of that. He built this thing. So he went out and he found a treadmill, like an old treadmill. And unlike me, who had this idea, he followed through on it. So that was better. He went and used something called an Arduino for calculating the something that I don't remember. And then he used a digital potentiometer to connect it to the PS4 controller. Like, easy. So my husband Matthew's going to be doing all that math stuff. And we're going to have, like, a really old, dilapidated treadmill connected up with all those machines in the living room. It'll be great. It'll be beautiful. But then I started thinking, like, this game is supposed to be for fun, right? And it's got maps. And in my real life, I really need a Google Maps to get anywhere. I mean, really. Like, if I have to go to the store down the street, I'll put it into Google Maps so I won't start daydreaming and wander off and, like, have to turn around and go four blocks back. I don't know if everyone does that. Might just be me. So this one time, my writing group, they meet the same place every month. And it's probably about 12 miles from my house, which is, like, 40 minutes driving time. So this one time after the meeting, when my story got some really harsh, helpful feedback, and then I get in my car and my phone died, so I don't have map. But I've been, like, going to this writing group for, like, a couple of years, like once a month. Like, it's right over there, like my house, 12 miles away. And so 2 hours later, like at midnight, I find myself in Long Beach.
You which, don't live in Long Beach?
No, but for people who don't live in Los Angeles, I live in the very northernmost town in Los Angeles. We're all the very northernmost neighborhood. If you go any farther, you're out of the city.
Up in the Highlands where they wear kilts and shit and paint their faces.
Where the coyotes live. And Long Beach is the other the southernmost part. So to go from where I am, where I live, to Long Beach is like 2 hours of driving any time of day. So I go to the 7-Eleven and I call up my husband and I explain to him what has happened, that my phone has died. And my options are to stay in Long Beach until something opens and I can buy a new phone with a charger. And maybe I'll, rent an apartment so I can plug it in. Or he could drive down and I would follow him back, because like a map is not going to help me. Or instructions over the, not going to help. So I'm going to have to follow him. He is an awesome guy.
Yeah.
He did 4 hours worth of driving to get me home from my writer's group on a weeknight. So
what a sport.
Right? But, you know, it's happened before. He knows those kind of things happen sometimes. But in conclusion, I'm pretty sure walking around in Death Stranding and getting lost, just like in real life. So how is that entertainment? Also, does Death Stranding have a Long Beach? Because I bet I can get there.
Sure. It's like you got to get lost to find it, right?
Right.
So right. Now, reading this article about the treadmill hooked up to the Death Stranding, it made me wonder, can you die in the game Death Stranding?
You can.
Then you should be able to die in real life when you're on this treadmill. Because right? otherwise, are you getting the full experience of the game, or are you just horsing around? I think you're just horsing around. You might as well just take the shit off, and turn the TV off, and go walk a lap around the block. But I guess I have a lot to learn about video games and fitness.
I'm really sad that I didn't get it to market first with like, crappy old treadmills he found on the street. Because there's a big market for that in people's living rooms, I'm sure.
Well, but is it to market? Or I mean, this sounds like it's just a one-off project. And I'm sure he's got, like, I don't know if he's got people knocking on his door. But, you know, I'm sure that PlayStation is working on their own treadmill, you know, little.
Well, actually, I think it's Konami people.
Okay.
Like a ton of people started following and retweeting his little YouTube video. And it looks like maybe by the time the next version of the game comes out, that might actually be a thing, which would be great. And then we wouldn't have to do all that math.
And then, you know, they can start bringing that into different games like the Tank Commander type stuff, so that you've got a tank simulator in your living room, or you know, maybe you could just get a real tank and you take the game out and you plug it in, huh? You fire it up and drive around town pretending to blow up Nazis and stuff, when really all you're doing is taking out a pharmacy.
I like it. I would play that game. Although
sounds expensive. Games are
really hard. If days had 36 hours, I think I'd play a lot more video games.
Mm. Yeah, well, I'm a fan of the Borderlands.
I remember quite a bit of walking in that too.
Yeah, but at no point was I like, you know what would make this more fun is if I was actually running for my life right now. But, you know, I guess maybe I shouldn't knock it till I try it. I used to have an idea for, I'm sure that this will still come someday, but it's just I wanted to do like a MP3 to play while you're out on your run, and it's just the sound of moaning zombies chasing you. And, you know, I think now with like augmented reality and stuff, you can put on your Google glasses and then you can actually see the zombies and hear the zombies and they can really be chasing you. But again, if there's no actual threat to your physical well-being, you know, you're just kind of fucking around watching cartoons, you know, as you run around. I mean, farting around. Excuse me. I didn't mean to let
there is a game like that for your phone, which yeah. I have played. I did stop because as I was told to run and I was being told the story of zombies and how I was getting to the safe place, I saw my own shadow and nearly gave myself a heart attack. So I really did run really hard, and then I looked around to see if anyone saw me.
Well, speaking of dead and lurking, you know, I just saw an article today that an ultra-massive, this was on CNN, an ultra-massive monster galaxy dating back to the early days of the universe lived fast and died young, astronomers say in a new study. In the galaxy, XMM-2599 existed 12 billion years ago, rapidly formed a bunch of stars, and then died. And now it's just out there wandering around waiting to gobble us up, presumably. Formed most of its stars in a huge frenzy when the universe was less than a billion years old, and then it became inactive by the time the universe was 1.8 billion years old. Just a baby universe with this dead corpse of a galaxy floating through it, just waiting to infect it, other galaxies with its ether brains and so forth. But
so how many Earths do you think it spawned?
Well, let's see, had already formed a mass of more than 300 billion suns, making it an ultra-massive galaxy. So, I mean, I think so, at least 7 or 8 Earths, at least.
Wow. And, imagine their history. That's something to lose.
Alien dinosaur monsters with lasers fighting each other, and then the galaxy just suffers heat death and stuff. But, you know, I just want to say, reading this article, I it smelled fishy to me, and I am certain that there's foul play here, and I don't know that anybody's ever done a real forensic investigation into the cause of death of Galaxy XMM-2599, and so I'm starting the hashtag on Twitter, Justice for Galaxy 2599. Galaxy XMM-2599, so people can follow that. I want to. We got to find out who did it and bring them to justice. God damn it! That's way too young for a galaxy to be.
Something to do with magnets. Magnets are always the culprit in that kind of thing.
You could be onto something. You know?
I don't trust them. They don't seem natural to me. The magnets. Hmm. Why do they even work?
I think it's witchcraft.
Right?
Ancient space witchcraft.
So I believe you had another little story you were interested in. Well, it had something to do with the sugar ant, which comes from Australia, of course, where all the bugs are fucking nightmares.
Yeah. So what we got there is ants and pee. Yeah, you know, I saw this article and I thought, you know what? Got to tell Kate about the ants that eat pee. So, turns out that...
I have a question about...
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you go ahead.
No.
Tell us about them first.
Well, okay, so...
ask my question.
Now, this is on fizz.org. I saw this. It says, sugar ants' preference for pee may reduce greenhouse gas emissions. And, you know, these sugar ants down in Australia on Kangaroo Island... It says that it was like an accident when I discovered the ants swarming to scavenge urine. It was purely by accident, the researcher says. So to me, that says that the guy was pissing on an anthill and they're going crazy for it. And he's like, wait a second, you know. So, I mean, that's fine with me. I don't have a problem with that. Have I peed on an anthill before? No, but I will now that I know that they derive sustenance from it. So what happens is when a kangaroo, being that we're on Kangaroo Island here, pisses in the sand, urinates their piss into the sand, the ants prefer that over sugar because they eat the urea and extract nitrogen molecules. And if they didn't eat the urea, it would break down and release ammonia into the atmosphere, which would then help form nitrous oxide, which is a greenhouse gas. And so the more pee the ants eat, the less ammonia is getting into the atmosphere, becoming greenhouse gases. And the ants are you know, they get converted to nitrogen, which they make into protein, and it makes them happy and live a long time and healthy and blah, 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 blah. Article says if you see ants piss on them or near them, because they were mining dry sand that had like dried pee in it. So nitrous oxide is a greenhouse gas 300 times more potent than carbon dioxide. So write that down, kids. Lastly, is I think that we can all get like those ant farms, you know, and get a little slidey door on the top. Put a funnel on there, whatever, or maybe you pee into a jug or whatever, and then you pour it in. But whatever, just get an ant farm and fill it with pee once a day. Just unload first thing in the morning. That's when I have to go the worst.
So my question is, they're called sugar ants, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sugar ants. You would think they would like the sugar. I don't want to hear any explanation about how urine contains sugar, because that's not the point. What made these sugar ants decide to go excuse me, what made these sugar ants decide to go to the dark side? I have never once looked at a piece of cake and like a puddle of urine on the floor and which one am I gonna pick?
He's kind of looking back and forth and like, you know, I'm kind of thinking cake, but there's something I just got to know. Is that puddle of urine drying right there, is that more healthy for me than this delicious cake? And then you get down on the ground with a straw and then you find out. And that's the spirit of scientific inquiry that these ants have. But I mean, we've been calling them sugar ants this whole time. They've been
They're
piss ants all along.
Piss ants.
Oh, man, we were just racing for that one.
Yeah. I knew that one was in there somewhere. I've got another question for you.
Yeah, I'll see if I can answer.
Is an ant an individual creature, or is the, what are they called, a flock of ants? Are they one big creature? Like, and each ant is the cell, and like the swarm of them is the creature, and each one is a cell. What do you think? Like, well, nanos? Like nano, I think ants are nano things. Could they like form in the shape of a human and like walk around and hold an office job?
I mean, if you took one ant and separated it from his colony, he's still gonna eat and you know, read and watch TV and poop and stuff. So I mean, but they're both. It's like a photon. It's both a particle and a wave.
Oh, man.
Wow.
I hate that shit. Just be one or the other. I think they're a nano creature. I like to see, when I see them in my kitchen all going around, I like to think they could, like, assume the form of a dog or something if they wanted to, if they wanted better treats.
Mm. Do you have, like, a megaphone or something? Some sort of a loudspeaker that you could yell at them to form the shape of a dog. Become a dog. Become a dog, damn you. And then keep doing it until they do. Because they can hear that. You get loud enough. They can hear it.
Well, they'd only have to do that if they wanted to do it. I mean, you couldn't force them. But why wouldn't they want to? Because I would completely give them like dank treats.
Dank treats?
I would.
Hmm. What does that mean? What's a dank ant treat?
Delicious.
So like a
hunk of steak. Like a something.
Hunk of steak, or throw a Jolly Rancher down on the floor. They would love that.
Yeah. Did you receive any letters?
I did. I did get some letters. Before we do that, the mail sack segment today is brought to you by Bony Tony's Pony Bologna. Our free-range, grass-fed ponies make the absolute best bologna money can buy. Each pony is humanely slaughtered by Bony Tony herself to make sure not one scrap of precious pony meat goes to waste. Come see why choosy chewers choose to chew Bony Tony's Pony Bologna. It's the bologna that'll make you say, that's good pony.
You got all the way through that.
Well, not for lack of practice, I tell you.
I got a letter. Dear Destroy the Files.
I like where this is going.
Yeah. This is from someone named Unusual Activity.
Sometimes.
And Mr. Unusual says, someone recently used wrong passwords to try to sign into your Google account, period. Small w. We prevented the sign-in attempt, comma. In this case, please review the details on the sign-in attempt, semicolon. So the details are, it was Monday, and the IP address is in Great Britain. So I should fear. And now it's followed by something called NOTE, all capitals. And here's the sentence. If you do not reply to this message to explain us about this unusual activity, period. Seems like he wants to threaten me, but forgot.
Well,
so I'm a little worried.
Well, I think he is too. I mean, that's why our good friend Unusual Activity here is just about panicking himself.
Right.
I barely get a thought out. I would respond right away and see what you need to do.
I think I need to give him some passwords.
Give him those passwords.
Right, maybe my credit card number. So it's followed by this sentence. Our records indicate that your account will suspend, comma, try to reply us ASAP. Well, seems that Mr. Unusual missed that day in class when they explained about prepositional phrases, but I get his meaning. I need to try to reply to us ASAP.
Well, I mean, these IT sorts aren't always the best at grammar. They're the best at keeping your information safe.
Right. I think his heart is in the right place.
Yeah.
Yeah. I should probably contact him because this looks like a problem.
Make sure that there's a big thank you attached, because that's the kind of thing that you want to know about now.
I know. I wonder if he wants to date. You think he would date me? Oh, I bet he would.
He would if he was in L.A. If he's in Boston, it's going to be tough.
Right. Big commute.
Mm. Let's see. I got one here from Schlocktoberfest in Austin. He writes, hey, Destroy the Files. I'm having a pretty hard time. My roommate has had a lot of problems with drugs, and recently he wound up owing some bad people a lot of money. I guess the stress finally caught up with him. I never thought he was the type to take his own life, but the other day when he came home, he had shot himself twice in the back of the head. The police did a real slapdash job of cleaning up, and now my whole apartment is buzzing with flies. My question is, when are you going to stop with the dumb BS and start explaining how to get rid of the flies? I could really use some help here. Oh, it's not It starts with, hey, destroy the flies. Oh, this guy thought we were a podcast about destroying flies.
Although, if you go to Chinatown, they have these little round canisters with the tape you pull out. They work really well. You hang them up all over your house. The flies stick right to them. They're the best things ever.
Yeah, I've used some of those in my garage before. Is you don't want to do that in the kitchen, because you're gonna be sitting there eating your cereal and just a fly going, bzz, bzz. You know, you're gonna be trying to enjoy some Fruit Loops. There goes this fly. You're like, oh my god! And then you're gonna go up there and like try and like squish it. And then your finger's gonna get stuck to the thing. Then you're gonna be trying to peel that off. Now it's stuck to your arm. So.
I have had that happen, and I've like come too close to them, and they get in your hair.
Not your hair.
Oh, man, this is
they're so sticky.
But then you get a new haircut, everything's fine.
Sure. So yeah, Schlocktoberfest. I hope that helps get the fly ribbon.
All right. So, I got this other letter. This one actually came in an envelope into my mailbox.
That is
So
fancy.
fancy. And it looked like it was maybe a little older, like it'd been like kicking around in the postal system for a couple of years. So this begins, Dear Jody. Psh, wrong name right
Get the
there.
name right, dipshit.
Yeah. All right. So, as you well know by now, I love you very much. Over the past 7 months, I've left you dozens of poems, letters, and love messages in the faint hope that you could develop an interest in me. Although we talked on the phone a couple of times, I never had the nerve to simply approach you and introduce myself. No S on besides. Besides my shyness, it says editor right in my bio, right? Okay. Besides my shyness, I honestly did not wish to bother you with my constant presence. You gotta appreciate that, my guy. That's nice. I know the many messages left at your door and in your mailbox were a nuisance, but I felt it was the most painless way for me to express my love for you. That would be painless. I wonder what the alternative would be. I guess we'll find out here in the rest of the letter. I feel very good about the fact that you at least know my name and know how I feel about you. And by hanging around your dormitory, I've come to realize I'm the topic of more than a little conversation.
It's weird. You don't live in a dormitory.
Oh, right. I wonder if this may have been delivered to the wrong place. Fucking post office. No wonder they're all going crazy and
Or
shooting
maybe he
each
just had a brain fart and he meant house. I don't know.
other. Oh, maybe, yeah.
Weird people are weird. I don't know.
However full, oh, what was it? I've come to realize that I'm the topic of more than a little conversation, however full of ridicule it may be. At least you know I'll always love you. I would abandon this idea of getting Reagan in a second if I could only win your heart and live out the rest of my life with you, whether it be in total obscurity or whatever. Man, who wants to live in total obscurity, right? Am I right?
Some loser.
Who is Reagan even?
Reagan
Let's
sounds
see.
like a
There's a guy
competitor.
down the street. He's like Reagan G Garcia or something. Maybe that's him.
Like a romantic rival or something, yeah.
I will admit to you that the reason I'm going ahead with this attempt now is because I just cannot wait any longer to impress you. Dude. Good line there. I would fall for that. I've got to do something now to make you understand in no uncertain terms that I'm doing all of this for your sake. By sacrificing my freedom, possibly my life, I hope to change your mind about me. Seems a little dramatic.
Yeah, he's really grasping for straws here.
This letter is being written only an hour before I leave for the Hilton Hotel. I'm asking you to please look into your heart and at least give me the chance with this historical deed to gain your respect and love. I love you forever. John Hinckley.
Well, see, right there. I mean, it's the delusions of grandeur. It's like, what's he gonna do? Oh, I'm doing this gesture. It's gonna be historic, and it's all for you and stuff. Well, what are you gonna do? Blow up the moon? What are we talking about here? So.
And he even stole the name of that guy that, you know that saying, I've got a Hinckley for you?
Yeah.
He even stole that.
Ah, cheesy, cheesy, cheesy.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, that one came today. I don't know how that turned out. I hope she got with him.
I
Like
mean,
he sounded like he's worth it.
he's definitely committed to her. He just needs to settle down with the poems and leaving it at her door and stuff, and just make a real connection. I mean, you know, I'm sure they got it worked out.
Would he drive 4 hours because his wife couldn't read a fucking map and never complain about it? I don't think so.
Nah, he'd sit there writing a poem.
Right?
So I have one here. Gunther in Hamburg, Germany says, "Hello, Kate and Brent. I have had enough of your abuse. I have returned to Germany. While working for you, I have had my foot run over by a car, my hands sewn together, my nipples severed and reattached, my left kneecap shattered and acid flung in my face. All these things I've done for you, and you barely even acknowledge me. I've missed my children growing up these long years just so you could abuse me and take advantage. You have no more Gunther to kick around. Please do not contact me again." Who's Gunther?
I know, Gunther? Is that what our assistant's name is?
Oh, that's that guy?
Oh, man.
Jesus. Oh.
That's why I don't have any coffee.
All right, Gunther, get your ass back here. I'm not even close to messing around about this.
Seriously, you are not going to get credits for college. Not if you pull this shit.
Not if you're pulling this shit. You didn't like the acid flung in your face the first time. I'm going to fling it in your face and across your ass. Now you get your ass back here.
Right.
Gunther, though, that's his name.
Really? I had no idea.
I wonder what his last name is.
What do you call him?
I've
been calling him like Julie. Yeah.
Well. My son's been calling him Stinkums. I'm like, hey kid, don't talk to that dude. And he's like, Stinkums took my whatever. And I'm like, yeah, well, you know, just don't talk to him. But yeah,
Gunther. So I guess we're looking for a marketing intern, huh?
Mm-mm. No, Gunther will be back. He damn well better be. Do you have another letter over there?
No, I'm done with the letters. That's all I got.
I have one more here, from Nervous in Madison. Hey guys, glad to finally be sending you a letter for the mail sack. I've been a listener since the beginning. I even have all 15 of the supposedly deleted episodes. Nice. I'm sure you won't choose this one to read on the podcast, but here goes. I am supposed to be finishing college at the end of this semester. Finals are going to kill me. I have no job waiting for me after graduation. I feel completely unprepared for the real world. Do you have any recipes that can help me get my adult life started on the right foot? Oh, that's a good question. Recipes here. What do you think? What do you think, Kate? You got a recipe over there?
All the cooking I do involves a microwave. There's instructions sometimes, but I wouldn't really call them a recipe. How about you?
I think the most important recipe that I know is a shot called Bloody Brains, and it's 1 ounce of peach schnapps, 1/4 ounce of Irish cream, and a little dash of Grendy. And so you put the peach schnapps in there, you put the Irish cream in, and it makes it kind of like a brain when it congeals. And then you take a spoon and drizzle that grenadine, and it looks like blood sinking down through a brain. And added benefit, Nervous in Madison, is it tastes like juicy fruit gum. It's just heaven. I hope everybody
had one of those actually. They're quite juicy.
Yeah. You know what? We were having those that night. We flung acid in Gunther's face because we made 3 bloody brains, and then the fourth one was supposed to be for Gunther, but it was the acid, and we all went up to take it, and Gunther was like, and you grabbed it from his hand, and he flung it in his face. Oh my god, blistered up immediately. That was hilarious. Oh, Gunther, missed that kid.
He'll be back.
Yeah, he will. So, I do have one more sponsor to mention here. This portion of the episode is brought to you by Restore the Files with Kent Jonelli. a podcast devoted to helping you restore files that you wish you hadn't deleted. No nonsense, no pointless banter, absolutely no talking about weird ovipositor sex toys that look like giant alien wieners and are used to implant gelatin eggs inside you. Just helpful tips and useful information on file restoration. That's Restore the Files, the only podcast with a no ovipositor guarantee.
I believe I'm tearing paper.
Tearing paper? I wonder what that was about. So anyways, what's next for Kate?
Well,
what you got? What you got working on? What's cooking?
I've got a I'm holding my breath and hoping that I make the long list for the Bram Stoker Awards this year. Oh, you know, not everyone can make it, but some of us can.
No, they can't. Many congratulations to you, though.
Oh, thank you. No, that was mean. I think...
Well deserved.
Like, you deserved it.
I appreciate that.
I don't know what happened, but I kissed more asses. Like, got right up there and kissed them.
You gotta figure out how to do that.
Yeah.
I'm no bueno at marketing. But... anybody listening to this podcast right now, if you would like a free electronic book version of my short story collection, Doomsday Furnace, you just message me at BrentKellyBooks@gmail.com. Maybe I'll send one to you if you include like some sexy pics or whatever. I don't know. Sweeten the pot. Just make it worth my while. You know what I mean? All right. That's enough of that. But Kate, your short story collection, Lady Bits, is friggin' fantastic. And I hope you win a Bram Stoker Award with that work this year. Be well deserved.
And I think you'll be winning one soon, because your story collection was pretty amazing. And I know, because I read every story. Good work. Yeah, there's no time for taste.
I keep coming up with new stories to write. You know, yeah. you probably have that. I came up with the vampire meat one. That seemed like it would be fun to write. I gotta write a children's story too. I think there's some agents out there that I could write a children's story about vampire meat. It's fun to have a children's story and submit it to a children's story agent, because they're reading it and thinking this is a normal children's author. This isn't some weird psycho talking about ovipositors at 11 o'clock on a Thursday night some weird podcast, you know.
So I used to work in customer service. It was a Christmas job that I took on because I wanted some money for Christmas. And I was, they gathered up all the customer service people and wanted to take our photo. And I'm standing next to a guy who's kind of like a big deal in the BDSM community. And I'm a horror writer. And we're kind of like, I'm a little known in horror, and he's really known in the alternative sexuality world.
Yeah, BDSM. So yeah, it's just battles, dragons, swords, and magic. That's awesome.
We kind of looked at each other and like, why do they want to take our picture? And we're trying to step back. No, everybody has to be in the picture. We're a family here. Like, we're just not. We're really not family people. We don't like families. We just don't. And we would rather not have our picture on your advertising and the boxes that you sell your products with. But no, it was like, you're here, you're making your $15 an hour or what the hell ever. You have to be on the packaging from here on. It's awful. But, you know, joke's on them, because we're not their wholesome family product.
We should talk about next week we should do, we should talk about jobs.
Oh, I could talk about jobs.
I know, we both have had some messed up jobs.
Yeah.
Maybe you more than me, but I've definitely.
I think you can hold your own in the job department.
Couple that were remarkable to the extent that I would remark on them. Yeah.
All right. So, do we have a sign off?
Sign off. This has been Destroy the Files with Kate and Brent and sugar ants peeing all over. No. That's not gonna work. Thanks for listening.
No, they don't do the peeing. Sorry. Go ahead.
Oh no. I'm sure they do at some point, right? They gotta pee a little, like a little right. tiny ant drop of pee.
They're not eating their own pee.
Do you think it comes? Are they?
Or maybe there's an animal like a big that is
chain of ants that just like one pees and the other one eats it and out it goes and they're having a giant.
What is that movie ant where people are like sewn together?
It's an ant centipede.
Yes.
Oh man, that just blew my mind with pee. Welcome to Destroy the Files. I did that wrong.
Better to fade out than, better to, what is it? Better to burn out than fade away?
Yeah. And, you know, kind of trailing off. Thanks for listening to Destroy the Files with Kate and Brent. I'm Brent.
I'm Kate.
And we'll see you all in hell. Now we're going to go delete this file so nobody can ever hear it.
Erase it.